We've seen a little bit of camp. We've seen the state of the Vikings so far, at least first impressions. So should we start hitting some panic buttons? Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. You can also find me on Patreon nowadays, patreon.com/LukeBraunNFL. All those links in the show notes. Welcome to the show. So, this is the last show before I earnestly go to camp and get to see all this stuff with my own eyes. I'll actually be there tomorrow, Saturday. So I figure now is the time to pose some questions based on what I know secondhand, what I've been able to see in the videos that have been posted and the reports from beat reporters and stuff. And let's just take a minute to decide whether or not to panic about certain stuff, right? Now, when I say panic, I'm not just trying to drum up like excitement. I just wanted a clicky title, but there's also a reasonable way to address like the idea of the panic button thing, right? And for me, that's should the Vikings sort of go against the grain, and it's a little bit of a swim upstream to do a transaction in the middle of August when everybody's trying to figure out their 90-man camp rosters and get somebody. So we're going to talk about injuries, we're going to talk about the center position, we're going to talk about the backup quarterback position. Should they go out and make a real-life acquisition? I'm not talking about grabbing some random dude out of the USFL who won't make the team. I'm talking about actually going and spending an asset. I'm talking about Yannick Ngakoue-level stuff to go address a problem. Is it to the point where we're pushing the panic button? For me, the panic button means spend resources. Should we spend resources, or should we enter the season with the group that we have right now? And the group that you have can be bad. Like, you can have, some teams have weaknesses. Like, you can't have no holes on your roster. You can't have nothing be bad. Like, two teams in the league ever have that. But is it so detrimentally terrible that it justifies a transaction? And if so, how big of one? Are we talking, oh my God, we got to go spend a second round pick and go get a starter? Or is it, hey, it'd be pretty cool if you like dumped a sixth round pick into some guy who's going to get cut just to get some extra competition in the room, that kind of thing. So firstly, I want to just check in on all this injury stuff. The injury bug has bitten the Vikings a little bit, but thankfully it doesn't seem to have bitten too hard. It has bitten a lot, but not very hard. It's like a bunch of, it's the injury bed bugs, not necessarily the injury, I don't know, one of those bugs that guy on YouTube gets bit by all the time. I don't know, big bug. But you've got Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. They have been participating despite having finger injuries. That's a pretty good sign, obviously. Wouldn't jeopardize them. If they're practicing in camp, that wouldn't jeopardize them in week one. Dalvin Cook is still limited, I guess you would call him, and I believe Alexander Mattison is limited a little bit too. But the real panic button thing is tight end. So I kind of wanted to talk about this because I wanted to continue a conversation from the Minnesota football party that we had that I did in earlier on Thursday. So go check that out, by the way. It's on the Locked On Minnesota Sports feed. I've gotten a whole bunch of questions. Don't search Minnesota Football Party on your podcast if you're trying to listen to that. That is an ensemble show with me and Arif Hassan and Sam Ekstrom and Luke Inman twice a week, and it's on Locked On Minnesota Locked On Minnesota Sports. So go check that podcast feed out. And even if you just listen to the football party on there, but they've got like Ron Johnson show. They've got all kinds of good stuff on there. So go check that out. We had Ron Johnson on the football party today. And one of the questions that we were talking about was about the tight end position. And another one we talked about was about backup quarterbacks. So I kind of wanted to continue those talks and then talk a little bit about the Chris Reed, Garrett Bradbury thing too. But let's start with that tight end thing. So no, we're not hitting any panic buttons at running back. Those guys seem like they're going to be fine. And it seems like Irv Smith also, or we have been told, I'll put it that way, we have been told that Irv Smith will be ready for week one. That is a fairly aggressive timeline historically with that sort of injury. So does it warrant something like a Chris Herndon trade or something maybe even more aggressive than that? And that is a more of a question about the tight end depth. This has been interesting watching. It seems like Johnny Munt and Zach Davidson have been the key two people at tight end depth, which is in and of itself very interesting because the third tight end on the team, I guess, would be Ben Ellefson. I think that was who was in my 53. I think I had Ellefson, Irv Smith, and Johnny Munt. Not in that order, obviously. But not anywhere in that is, at least not yet, is Nick Muse, who I did not have a draftable grade on. And I did that after the Vikings took him, like after I knew it was my own team. So that's even with whatever Homer bias is leaking in. So I don't know. But doesn't seem like he's part of the equation yet. And then, you know what, for a seventh round pick, that's okay. Like a seventh round pick, if you are on the practice squad for 2 years and then you make it, that's still like pretty good for a second seventh round pick. More often than not, your seventh rounder doesn't make the team. But Zach Davidson last year was the furthest thing from an NFL player that you can be and still be in a game. He was lost, dude. Like he was way out there. And running routes was difficult. Running routes at the right depth was difficult. And it's because he only had like 2 years of tight end experience. Like you could tell how new he was to the position. And on Thursday, he got more first team reps. And it seems like that might be a day-to-day rotation with Johnny Munt for the first team reps with Irv Smith out. So this is one of those things where everything in camp is zero sum, right? But terrible news for Irv Smith. He's got to miss all of camp and the first install with the new coach and everything. That's terrible for him. But it might be the greatest thing to ever happen to Zach Davidson. Like it might be a genuinely like career altering stroke of luck. I don't want to say luck because a teammate got hurt, but like this stroke of good circumstance, I guess, for Zach Davidson, who is now getting a lot of opportunities with at least with the twos, and has gotten a little bit with the ones as well. He's gotten a lot of run with Kellen Mond, who has thrown to him a lot. I don't know if that is a good thing or not. At least that was the way Arif described it to us on the football party that I want to kind of dive into what that means. But we'll talk about that when we talk about the backup quarterbacks. But if he is the third most dynamic tight end, and he actually ends up making the team, maybe kicking Ben Ellefson out or something. If he learned how to block, that would be huge. Apparently Johnny Munt's a good blocker too, so maybe he kicks Ellefson out. But I think Ben Ellefson might be the best blocking tight end on the team, even after Smith, who's a pretty good blocker, but Ellefson is genuinely an awesome blocker. So I do think he's still worth a roster spot. He's just not going to get a lot of tweets and highlights and stuff, especially when you're not in pads, because that's just not his role. But you do need that. Like, there is room in a 53-man roster for that guy, and you get him on the field sometimes. And then it's kind of Johnny Munt, Zach Davidson, if Nick Muse can make some kind of leap, but if he just has to kind of be a redshirt practice squad guy for a year, that's fine. That kind of is, like, there's roster pressure here. So I am watching with a very, very keen eye this Zach Davidson, Johnny Munt battle. Do I think there needs to be another person in there? I don't think so, because there's already pressure. Like, I already feel like if Zach Davidson's going to play at a rosterable level, which it seems like he might actually be able to, then I already feel like I'm cutting somebody who should be on a 53-man roster, and adding more pressure to that just to cut somebody seems like it would be an inefficient use of resources. So I'm keeping my hand off of the tight end panic button. Even if Irv Smith's injury is worse than they are letting on, I'm still keeping my hands off of the tight end panic button. Well, if Irv Smith ended up on, like, IR, then you'd have to, like, start somebody. Then I would hit the panic button. But in terms of just tight end depth, I'm not hitting the panic button. I think we have three depth quality players and we can only keep two of them, and adding a fourth one does just makes that, like, it's a very marginal return. So next up, I want to get into the center stuff, and we'll talk about Bradbury and Reed and what kind of panic buttons we're getting to there. But first things first, let me talk to you about banking. Look, we've all been there, all right? We've all been in that point where you have, like, a sense in your bank account. I've been there. I've in college, I had some rough times, all right? And I've had my card declined and had to have my friend, like, buy my lunch, and it was really embarrassing, and then you don't want to deal with, like, overdraft fees. This is where Dave can come in. Dave is a banking app that can get you up to $500 right away with their extra cash account thing. That's money to fill your gas tank just so you can get to work, just so you can make it till your next paycheck comes in. This is not like a huge influx of cash. This is just like a little bit of petty cash to get you through the day and to get you into the next paycheck. That is what Dave is for. It was invented because overdraft fees suck, and overdraft fees are like kind of immoral sometimes, and Dave helps you kind of avoid those big giant overdraft fees. You don't want a $3 purchase to become like a $36 purchase, which has happened to people. So download the Dave app from the App Store right now. You can get up to $500 instantly with extra cash, no interest, and no credit check needed for that. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. For your second listen, go check out the Minnesota Football Party, where we had a pretty extended conversation about a lot of these topics. So if you want to hear more talk about that, go do that. Also, check out the history documentary. If you subscribe to me on Patreon, patreon.com/LukeBraunNFL, you can watch episode 2 right now. It is an hour long. Kind of got away from me, although it's now not going to be the longest one. I got a little excited about the 90s, okay? But this one is an hour long. It goes over Bud Grant and a whole bunch of the Purple People leaders, all the Purple People leaders we haven't gone over yet. So that's Paige, Gary Larson. Sometimes people refer to the whole defense as the Purple People leaders. So that's all the linebackers. Paul Krause is in it, Bobby Bryant, and all the way up through 1971, which means we have gotten to the Super Bowl once. And how do you think that went? This is where things start to really, where the Vikings really become the Vikings you've come to know. So it's definitely something that I poured a lot of time and work and love into, and I hope you all have the time to check it out. If you don't want to join me on Patreon, it will be free for everybody on Saturday, so you just got to wait a little longer. But if you can't wait, come join, or just come join anyways, because I love you. Let's talk about the center situation. So here's where we're at right now, if you haven't been listening, or if you haven't been paying attention to training camp. Garrett Bradbury is struggling. It's hard for me to know the scope of how he's struggling, because all I'm going off is secondhand, and all that is like, I know he lost two consecutive one-on-ones really ugly to Harrison Phillips, and that's the only actual thing I know. So I don't know if it's just everybody kind of only paying attention to that, which happens with Bradbury. They kind of tend to lock in on one play, and then everything else he does is like, doesn't matter. Or if everything else is also bad, like, I don't know. Either way, seems like he's not having a great camp. And then Chris Reed and Austin Schlottman are currently trading reps at second team center. So that seems like a battle for second team center. There's been some speculation that Chris Reed could be the starting center if Garrett Bradbury continues to struggle. I would believe that when I see it, because Chris Reed has had a lot of snapping issues, and I think with both quarterbacks, both Mannion and Mond. So you can't put that guy on the field. Like, I'd rather have a guy that struggles every once in a while in pass protection than a guy who botches snaps. That's a catastrophe. I'd rather take a sack than a botched snap. Damn. And it's very frustrating. If you've been looking for some Garrett Bradbury competition, there were a lot of people available in the mid rounds, like 3 and 4 in this draft, and they picked Brian Asamoah instead and then a Caleb Evans. It sounds like a Caleb Evans is doing very well. Haven't heard much out of Asamoah yet, one way or another. But I kind of wish that somewhere along the way they would have taken an interior lineman, and they just kind of didn't. So, except what? The only lineman they took was Vedarian Lowe, and he's a tackle. So they really seem to be comfortable strolling into the season with Garrett Bradbury and a competition behind him. And like, it doesn't seem like there's much intention to start. And remember, with Chris Reed, he has not snapped in a live game. He snapped in the preseason, and that is it. So it doesn't seem like, if that's the competition for Bradbury, then the Vikings have not taken that very seriously. And if that is a serious attempt to get competition as at center, it is a woefully undercommitted one. So the question becomes, do we hit the panic button here? Do we go out and get a center? There's a lot of talk, you know, everybody wants JC Treader really bad. I don't know if he can play. He was not that good. He couldn't stay on the field in Cleveland. I don't really understand why everybody's obsessed with him in particular. I don't really know who else is out there, but let's say that there is some, you know, like Matt Parody is out there, I think, who also has been pretty abysmal in the last, I think he actually was worse than Bradbury, if I remember, but let's say you want somebody like him, I would go and get a free agent competition like him. I think that that could be somebody to really push Bradbury and take this spot on the roster seriously. I don't know if that's a panic button, though. I mean, that's just a free agent. If you're talking about, like, we're trading for somebody because someone has an entrenched center, but their rookie is playing really well, some situation like that, I do think that this would be a good thing to go do. I think there is a transaction there. Now, am I saying go spend a second-round pick on it? No. I would spend a day three pick on it, and I'd be reticent to spend a fourth. Like, fifth or sixth, I'd be pretty good with it. And if you're just going out to get a seventh, get a Brett Jones type or something, that would also be fine. But, like, for interior linemen, you know, a seventh rounder can get you somebody who is a borderline starter. And that's the kind of guy that you would get to compete with your struggling starter. A reserved panic button. A responsible button of panic is what I would press for the center position. Backup quarterback, I might be, my hair might be a little bit more on fire. So I want to go over Kellen Mond and Sean Mannion. But first, let me talk to you about a good old Gramble. If you're really panicking, you can just bet against the Vikings. They are the 8.5 over-under win total. So if you think that they're going to have a losing season, you can bet on that. If you think they're going to have a winning season, you can bet on that too. Of course, bet your over or your under. You can gamble on whether or not the Vikings will make the playoffs. You can bet on where they'll be in the division, who will win the North, and where will everybody finish. You can bet on all that stuff. You can also bet on ongoing sports, MLB, WNBA, golf and tennis and stuff, MMA fights, F1. You can bet on all that stuff. BetOnline has it all. Player props, bet in the middle of a game or an event with their live betting module. It's all there. That is at betonline.net, where the game starts. So I'm a little worried about the backup quarterback position again. this has been, if ever there were an act of negligence from the Vikings, it's this. And it's wild. It's the same thing as Bradbury, where part of what gets Zimmer and Spielman fired is the insistence on rolling back into the year with people that we know aren't very good. That's Sean Mannion, right? Now, I've talked about Sean Mannion a lot in the past, but if you're new, the reason Sean Mannion sticks around, like if you're utterly confused by this, the answer to that question, like if you actually went in and asked people that and actually got the Vikings to answer it, the answer you would get is that Kirk Cousins insists on it. Because Sean Mannion helps Kirk Cousins, and you can think of it as, like, think of it like a Madden rating. If Kirk Cousins is an 82, then Sean Mannion makes him an 85, because he just helps him prepare that much better. And there's an argument for that, right? Like, would you rather have your backup quarterback be somebody that upgrades you from a 10% chance to win a game that Kirk Cousins doesn't play in to a 25% chance to win a game that Kirk Cousins doesn't play in? Would you rather have that, or would you rather have somebody that gives you an extra 3% in every game that Cousins does play in and actually affects the way your, you know, expensive $36 million quarterback plays? There might be more value in the latter, right? That's the argument. And that's the argument the Vikings would give. That's the argument, of course, Cousins would give, and Cousins just raves about how Sean Mannion helps him. I think Sean Mannion has a future in this league as a coach if he wants to go down that route. But that's the point. And that he's not horribly inaccurate. He doesn't have a lot of arm strength, and he knows how to operate offenses, and he knows how to read plays and stuff, and he can sort of limp you along. He's the guy that won't win you the game but won't give it away by throwing 10 million pick sixes. And a lot of times that's what you're looking for in a backup. The other guy is Kellen Mond. Now, The ideal world here is one where Kellen Mond beats Sean Mannion and takes that backup job by the reins, and now you spent a third-round pick last year on a backup quarterback, and hey, that's a reasonable transaction. A lot of people do that, and I think you can be perfectly happy with a backup quarterback. Quarterback is an important enough position where I think it is reasonable to spend a third-rounder on your backup for it. Mannion doesn't seem to be doing that. Now, he's getting reps still with the twos in rotation with Mannion, and he's getting a lot of run with the twos. According to Arif Hassan, who's been watching him the most closely, I think, he has been missing reads. He's like really inaccurate. He looks totally not ready. On the football party, I put on the tinfoil hat and I kind of said, look, he's going to be on a development arc. And when he got drafted, I kind of said, you're going to have to tear apart this guy's game and kind of rebuild it, reconstruct it to take advantage of some of the God-given talent that he has, especially that arm, because to rewind a lot, my post-draft Kellen Mond take, which hasn't really changed because we haven't seen much from him, is that he had a really bad habit of writing checks that his arm can cash in college because he could rocket things in there. So he would make some really ill-advised throws, but it didn't matter because he could rocket it into really tight windows. But he wasn't making the read right. He was reading space, and he wasn't really progressing in the way that, like, you would hope for an NFL quarterback. He was, I guess, a little bit too reticent to move on. Like, that was it. When he would get to a point in the progression, it was really easy to talk him into throwing it if you're the defense. And in the NFL, those kind of tricks can work and really lead to stuff because guys break a lot faster in the NFL. And so that attitude would get him in a whole bunch of trouble. So my kind of take was, you need to teach him not to do that, and you need to kind of reconstruct some stuff in his mechanics as well, just his throwing mechanics. His release was a little bit wonky. There's a hitch in his foot, in his footwork. There's some weird stuff going on that you also need to kind of get those habits out of him and then reteach him those steps the right way. That means that there's going to be this interim moment where he is, everything about his game is a work in progress and he's a total catastrophe. I think we're in that valley. and maybe that works. You know, maybe that's the thing that a year from now he's got his mechanics figured out and stuff. That's wishful thinking. That's usually the kind of project that takes many years, not just one off season or two off seasons. And he kind of missed a year last year. It was like a rehab year. He lost a bunch of weight with COVID. He missed his first camp. He was hopeless. There was not much progression that was going to happen last year because of circumstance. And so that's the Kellen Mond thing, is he might be in that catastrophic thing. But right now, he has been enough of a catastrophe in camp, at least it sounds like. I'm going to go see this for myself soon. But if everybody who's watching is to be believed, he's been enough of a catastrophe where Sean Mannion is still far and away a better option than him. I'm going to say that again because a lot of people don't believe that this is possible. Sean Mannion, at this juncture, if you had to play a game tomorrow and Kirk Cousins wasn't available to do it, Sean Mannion would be a better option than Kellen Mond by a mile. That's what it sounds like right now. I want to verify that. I want to check on that. And I'm going to bring you that when I go to camp. But that's kind of where we're at right now. That's an unacceptable situation. This is the panic button. Spend a third round pick and go get somebody's old backup that they're cutting because like Sam Howell's good or something like that. They're good enough to be a backup or something like that. Pick somebody off the waiver wire that was a cap casualty on cut down day. You need to do something about this. This was a bad situation last year. And because of how bad this situation was last year, when Kirk Cousins did miss a game with COVID, they were doomed. There was no way for them to win that game. There was no possibility of a Cooper Rush situation. Some gritty backup wins the game, pulls off the upset by just sheer force. No, there was no shot of that. And they got dunked on, and everybody knew they would get dunked on. And as good as Kirk Cousins has been at staying off the field, and even the COVID thing, COVID exposures are not a reason to be sent home anymore. Only if you like have a symptomatic case and you genuinely have COVID and are spreading it to people will they keep you home. So the protocols are way different. There's no vaccinated, unvaccinated thing going on anymore. That problem, for all intents and purposes, is behind the NFL, whether it should be or not. So it's not even that Kirk Cousins is any kind of availability concern, but even the lowest availability concern in the entire league can still have their ankle rolled up on a weird pass rush, can still get hit funny, can still get hit on a slide because some young defensive back didn't pull up fast enough and have to go through the concussion protocol, and now he's out two games. This can happen to anybody, and Kirk Cousins is not invincible, as good as he's been at staying on the field. And that is actually a sustainable thing that he does. There are decisions that he makes to increase his sustainability, getting the ball out quickly, not leaning into contact on sacks, stuff like that. Those are habits that he does to stay on the field. But even with all of that, he's not invincible, and football is a physical game. And if for any reason he has to miss a game again, the Vikings are doomed. That needs to be addressed. So I am slamming the panic button on the backup quarterback situation. This is not the thing that I think bears itself out in over the course of the next month, oh, okay, Kellen Mond finally got it out, now he's fine. No, I think we're very far away from that moment, and Sean Mannion is who he is. If you want to keep Sean Mannion on the practice squad so you can keep him in the room, I mean, nobody else is going to sign him, so you could probably do that. Get somebody real, man. We've had Sean Mannion for 4 years now as the backup quarterback, and it's never been good enough. Get somebody else. I'm slamming that panic button. So, tomorrow, episode 2 of the History Doc comes out. Go check it out on my Patreon. You can find it on Zoe Coverage as well. I will now be at camp. With any luck, I will be doing still YouTube from camp. The upload schedule might be at weird times on YouTube. And they might even be live on YouTube. But I don't know how that's going to work, so stay tuned for that. But I will be at camp. There will be an audio podcast at the very least. I'm going to try to figure out how to do video there. It might not look good, but at least have something up on YouTube so that people who do watch on YouTube aren't totally lost and don't miss the week that I'm actually there. And I'm really excited to bring you camp. Follow me on Twitter. I will be trying to tweet out as much information as possible. I'm going to be a real volume shooter. So if you're going to get annoyed by that, you can mute me on Twitter. That's okay. And I'll see you next week. But I have a feeling that if you're listening to this show, you're not opposed to some daily camp coverage in a lot of depth. So I will see you all then. And as always, Skull.